God's power and strength. We can pull down the strongholds, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I really love that verse. When I was teaching the teenagers, it's something that I try to help them with a lot. It's their thought life. It's important. And we hammered it home. But I came to that spot sometimes thinking, how in the world can we do this? Sometimes we try so hard to have the right thoughts, and sometimes we try so hard to make sure that we're thinking about the right things. It just seems impossible. And that's what we've been learning about for the last 11 weeks. And today, the lesson is guided by a conformed mind. Guided by a conformed mind. Point number one is we are never going to be able to think right on our own. There are some things we just got to come to the realization of the fact that we need God's help with certain things. And this is one of those things. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. It's when we realize how desperate we are and how we are just weak in this flesh and that we need God's help. Our minds must be conformed to God's mind if we're going to please Him. We can actually have the mind of Christ, the Bible says, that let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We can have the mind of Christ, but that does not happen on our own. We need God's help to do that. God, when He saves us, has an intention. That intention is to conform us into the image of His Son. He says, and for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And He wants us to have the mind of Christ. He doesn't want us to have the thoughts of anger and bitterness and frustration. He doesn't want us to have wicked thinking. He doesn't want us to have immoral thoughts. He doesn't want to have us to have the wrong type of attitudes. Jesus Christ, in that same passage, talked about how He came to this world and He was willing to submit. He was willing to be a servant. He was willing to take on the form of flesh for us. Not because we deserve it. Not because there's anything good about us. But because He loved us. He was willing to do that. And that's the type of mind we can have. A servant's heart attitude and a servant's heart mind. And in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 22 through 24 is what we're going to look at today. There's three practical steps to take if we're going to have minds that are conformed to Christ's mind. Let's look here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. The Word of God says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Now, this word conversation, referring to the way of life, and this is referring to before we were saved, that there's something we need to put off, there's something we need to get rid of, there's something we need to set aside, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's three different things here that I see. There's a putting off, and then there's also a renewing, and then there's a putting on. And this morning, there's three ways we're going to look at it. And the first thing is repent of sinful activities or sinful patterns. Repenting of sinful patterns. It says in verse number 22, there's something that we need to put off. It's sort of like taking and changing our clothes. You take certain clothes off and hopefully you put them in the laundry basket. I know sometimes the guys or kids, they struggle. They'll get all their right next to the laundry basket, but don't get it in the basket. That ever happen at your house? It happens at my house sometimes. But it's like a taking off of something. There is something that we need to get rid of. There's something that we need to push away. We need to put it off. We need to get rid of it. We need to repent of it. We need to change our minds. There's our old conversation, the way that we used to live, the way that we lived as the old man, the former conversation, the old man, the way that we lived when we did not have Christ. It was corrupt according to our deceitful lust because that's all we had. Now he says, look, we need a change. We need to have a change. And this includes our minds. The Bible says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. You know, if we want to have our thoughts changed, we need God's mind. Have you ever noticed that we have a certain pattern of thoughts? It seems that some thoughts, no matter how hard we try to ignore them, they continue to return. Sometimes these thoughts are resurrected from our lives before we were saved. Paul speaks of this when he talks about the former conversation or the unsaved mind. He also tells us to rid our minds of that which is corrupt in this verse. And that's what he's talking about here. It's saying here, oh, we went the wrong way, didn't we? That our deceitful lust, there's something that we also need to get rid of. And that's having an unholy type mind. those things which we have allowed in our mind because of sinful thought patterns. Then he says, turn from the deceitful lusts which speak of the thoughts that we have allowed into our mind because of having an unbridled mind. Because we're not careful and guard our mind, sometimes we allow things in there. The unsaved and the unholy and the unbridled mind must all be acknowledged as a sinful pattern, and repentance is necessary to rid the mind of these sinful patterns. We need to understand that we need God's help because of our mind that we have. Our thoughts, sometimes they're brought up from when we were unsaved. I don't know about you, but there's still things that I remember as a child that I did before I got right with God as a teenager. Some things that I looked at, I wish I never looked at, listened to, that I wish I never listened to. And those thoughts are brought up. I'd love to get rid of those. Isn't that true? I mean, before we were saved, or even after we've been saved, there are certain things that we wish we could just get rid of. But the Bible says we can capture those, and we can bring them into captivity. We can cast down those imaginations. But it's not just that way that we used to live. It's because we have an unbridled mind. We allow unholy thoughts to come in. I guess the thought is, do we ever repent of our sinful thought patterns? Do we ever repent of it? Do we ever have this thought in our mind that we need to repent of it? Because, you know, we look at things that are seen. You know, if we go up and we slap somebody, they're going to be seen, and we're going to repent of that because somebody saw it and got us in trouble. But our thought patterns, people don't see. Have you ever given consideration that we need to repent and ask God's help for our thoughts? We often have to apologize at yelling at our children because we didn't deal with the anger that was welling up in our hearts. Repenting of selfishness and pride and bitterness and unforgiveness and covetousness, jealousy, envy, and lust will save you from dealing with these sinful actions later. Remember, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. See, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm getting at you're not going to have to deal with asking for repentance later on if you deal with the things inside now, if you deal with your thought patterns now. And if we will deal with it now, then we won't have to always ask for forgiveness. If you would have dealt with anger issues ahead of time, or the problems of our children ahead of time, we would not have to ask for forgiveness by yelling at them because we've taken the time to have the fruits of the Spirit in our life. There was an old commercial on TV, shows an auto mechanic looking under the hood of a car with a smoking engine. Someone had failed to change his oil regularly, and now his engine needed to be replaced. It's a very expensive proposition. The old mechanic would hold up an advertised oil filter and say, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. And the truth is, you can pay now by dealing with your sin and repenting of it now and getting things right with God, or you can pay a much greater price later because you haven't dealt with your sin inside, and someday it's going to manifest out to where the anger and the selfishness and the bitterness and the pride and the jealousy and the envy and the lust, where do they come? It all comes from inside. So if you would take care of our thoughts and take care of our heart, guess what? We're not going to have to deal with that. Does that mean you're going to be perfect? No, no one's going to be perfect. But what are we going to be manifesting in our lives? We're going to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit's in control and we're thinking as God wants us to think, and we're having the mind of Christ, guess what? This is what's going to be permeating. But when we don't have the mind of Christ, you're going to see anger, frustration. You're going to see somebody who is not at rest, who is not at ease, who is always causing that, let other things manifest in their lives. And I know what we need to look at those and say, well, that's just the way they are. No, it's something that's inside that needs to change. And we need to resist. We need to repent of a wrongful thought pattern. The next thing is we need to resist with Spirit-filled power. We need to resist with Spirit-filled power. The Bible says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, the human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fills. You and I are not going to win the battle of our minds without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can try as hard as we want to. We can be as impressive as we want to outwardly and make ourselves look good. But without the Holy Spirit's help, we are not going to have victory. As long as we think that we can think right on our own, we will think wrong. We have to come to the point where we repent of something. We have to come to the point where we say, no, I do not want this. I have to take this off. I want nothing to do with this. I want to get rid of this wrongful thought patterns. I want to get rid of the sinful thought patterns. I need to get rid of that. You say, well, how do you do that, Pastor? I've been trying to do that for a long time. And here's the way. It's by trusting in the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might or nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the only way that we can ever have the ability to have a right and proper thought life is through the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, Pastor, I don't think it's even imaginable. Well, there's a verse for that too. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. There are certain things in our life that says, I can never have the victory like that. There's no way I can overcome that. And God's saying, I can do more in your life than you can even ask for or even think. He's saying, I can give you a thought life that's victorious. But the only way it can be done is when we resist with the Spirit-filled power. Sometimes we do it on our own. And we try our best and try our hardest and we become frustrated. We become anxious. We become overwhelmed because we cannot do it by ourselves. D.L. Moody once said, God commands us to be filled with the Spirit, and if we aren't filled, it's because we are living beneath our privileges. You know, God has given us such a great privilege of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and if we are not living filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we are missing such the opportunity that He has given us to live by. Most Christians today live an apathetic Christian life because they do not look for the filling of the Spirit of God. We are all filled with something. Now, in order to be filled, something must be empty too. You think about the illustration, my gas tank is always full of something, either air or gasoline. Unfortunately, cars do not run on air, so we must keep them filled with fuel. When we put the gasoline into your car, you are forcing the air in the tank out. And this is the same principle in our lives. We're all filled with something. In order to fill something, we must empty something. The gas tank in her car is always full, but while it's always full, we must come to the realization that it is filled with something that's not needed to be there. It's either air or gasoline. Unfortunately, cars do not run on the air. And if we would be filled with self, the Holy Spirit of God is forced out. But if we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we cannot be filled with self. When we empty ourselves of ourselves, the sinful patterns that accompany our sinful selves are filled with the Spirit of God. We will have thoughts and actions that are pleasing to God. John put it this way. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. I hope you get what we're saying here. Is that either you're going to be filled with yourself or you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And you're filled with something. What influence are you under? You think about what the Bible is saying here. In Ephesians 5:18, it talks about being drunk with wine. And when a person is drunk with alcohol, there's no question they're under influence. That which he has placed himself with under, he may try to cover that influence, but he can't. You think about it, ask him to walk a straight line, and a drunk person cannot. Ask him to repeat the alphabet, he can't. His words are slurred, his mind is slowed, his movement is awkward, all because he cannot control himself. He is under the control of something different. And here's the same thing when it comes to the Holy Spirit of God, is when we're under the Holy Spirit's influence and when we empty ourselves of our sinful patterns of thought and our minds are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, it will likewise be undeniable. We can't hide it. It's obvious as our speech, our actions, and even our reactions are now controlled by the Spirit of God rather than sinful flesh. And here it is. The truth is, you're controlled with something. There is something inside of you. You're filled with something. Something influences you. It's either going to be yourself, your flesh, or the Spirit of God. And here's the point. If you really, truly want to have victory in your thought life, we must learn to empty ourselves of us and our fleshly thought patterns and fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit of God. Have you repented of your sinful thought patterns? Are you resisting with Spirit-filled power? Martin Luther said that God made the world out of nothing, and it was only when we become nothing that God can make something out of us. You think about it. If we really, truly want to have the Spirit of God filling our lives, we have to empty ourselves of us. We got our own fleshly tendencies, our own desires, our own whatever. Remember, the Bible says that John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. We had to say goodbye to our fleshly self if we ever want to have victory here. We're all under some type of influence, but are we under the Spirit's influence? And here's the next principle, is replace with spiritual precepts. And here's the important thing. I think this is a key that a lot of Christians miss. And it's the idea, okay, Pastor, I get it. I'm going to repent. I'm going to come to the altar. I'm going to get it right in the chair. I'm going to do my best to try to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to get rid of those wrong, sinful thought patterns. I'm not going to look at that TV show anymore. I'm not going to listen to that music anymore. I'm not going to get to a spot where these anxieties are happening in my life. But we must replace those things with something. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 22 says, look, you had to put something off. Then you must renew yourself in the spirit of your mind. And then you must put on the new man. The replacement theory here is found throughout the whole Bible. Oftentimes, God talks about replacing one thing with another. It talks about how putting off, that is repentance, is a huge first step in the process. But now the wrong must be replaced with something that is right. If victory is to be secured, notice several places where God emphasizes replacement. Think about what the Bible says here. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In my interpretation, the way I see this, this is someone who probably used to do these things. Maybe an unsaved person who got right with God and put their faith and trust in God. And he used to do all these things. He used to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He used to stand in the way of sinners. He used to sit in the seat of the scornful. But there's been a change in his life. He's replaced all these things. And he's replaced it with the law of the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'm telling you, if you have things in your life that are dragging you down, and you got to say no to something, you got to replace it with something good. Not only in this passage, but think about what it says in Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10. It says, but now ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Look in verse 28 in chapter number 4 here. And look what it says. Let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor. There's a replacement there. There was a time and opportunity where they used to steal. But he's saying replace the stealing now with labor. He says, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Here is the truth that there must be a replacement with spiritual precepts. We must take off the old and begin putting on good things. You say, I've been thinking wrong for so long. I just don't think I can change the way I think. I tried to quit. But it never really helps. They think I just can't do it. And this is a principle here. Okay, I'm going to try a little experiment, so bear with me for a second. Okay, I want you to try to think about the number 8. Just clear your mind out and put the number 8 in your mind. You think about it. You think about it on a cue ball. You can think about the shape of a snowman. Think about the V8 drink. Think about 8 as a beautiful number. Now, try to forget it. The more a person usually tries to stop forgetting something and tries to get it out of their mind, you know what happens? They keep it right there. The same is true for a sinful thought. The more you focus on repenting of that sinful thought, you know what happens? It's harder to put it off. But now let's try this. Take the number 100. Now you have to listen very close. Take the number 100. Add 4 to it. You have 104. Subtract 14. You have 90. Divide it by 3. You have 30. Add 20. You have 50. Multiply it by 2. You have 100. Then you subtract 99. What do you have? What number didn't you think about? The number 8. It's not even in your mindset anymore, is it? You've forgotten all about it. And here's the point, is if you replace it. You know, when you're trying to get rid of 8 earlier, it just wouldn't work. Even though you try to repent of the number 8. I don't want to see it. I want to get rid of it. But if you take and you place something else in the pattern, if you take the wrongful thoughts and you get rid of them, you don't think of those things, but you don't repenting of it and trying to get rid of it is not going to work. It's when you replace it. It's when you put something else there. You won't even remember that anymore. It's when we don't replace our wrongful thoughts with it. You know what's going to happen? When we don't replace it with the Word of God, the wrongful thoughts are going to come back and even in a greater way. You will never rid your mind of sinful pat thoughts by focusing on how important it is to get rid of them. You have to replace those thoughts. And I've been there. I thought about, man, I wish I didn't think this way. God, you got to help me with this. I got to get rid of this. But if you would fill your mind with the Bible, sometimes if you struggle with bitterness, learning scripture when it teaches us about being forgiving and learning scripture, if replacing it with something else, a spiritual precept, it can help you change. Look what the Bible says in Philippians 4, verses 7 through 9. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God is not telling us to never think again. He is telling us we need to change what we think about. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If we really want to have victory in our thought lives, it's not the idea of just holding on so hard and not thinking about those wicked things. And every time it pops into our mind, we try to capture it. It's the idea of taking the good and replacing the bad. Well, if you are filled up with the Spirit, if you're filled up with the Word of God, if you're filled up with hymns and songs and spiritual songs and praising, the other thoughts won't have a chance to be there. But it's when we do not replace it with the things of the Word of God. It's when we might take off, but we don't renew in our mind. We don't put new things on. It's when we struggle. So what are you keeping in front of your mind? You think about it, it's like a desktop of your computer. If you go and you let your computer go off and you come back to an hour later, you know what's looking at you? The exact same thing. I know you might have to wiggle the mouse to get the screen to pop up, but it's the exact same thing that you left. It's going to be staring you right in the face as soon as you log back on. But if you take the time to click those unwanted things and drag them over to the recycle bin or trash can, you won't even remember that they're on your computer. You ever try to go into your recycle bin and, you know, sometimes you're supposed to empty that thing, I think. And you go back there and you look at, and sometimes before I empty mine, I look at it and says, man, I hadn't thought about that for a long time. Man, and I got rid of, you know, there's a ton of things in there that are worthless. And in our thoughts, in our mind, if we will learn to get the trash out and empty it and put it in the recycle bin and not have it keep on staring you in the face, that means that there might be certain places you don't go. There might be certain websites you don't look at. There might be certain people you don't talk to. There might be things that you got to go and take it and put it in the trash can. You're not going to remember it anymore. The problem is when we get back into the trash can and pull those things out of the recycle bin. And you can be sure there's your thoughts are still in your mind, just like those things that are in the recycle bin are still in your computer. And you can find them if you go digging around the trash can. But if they're out of sight, they will become out of mind. Hopefully you have victories in your Christian life. Hopefully there's been things that you can say, God helped me and God encouraged me through, you used to struggle with. And I don't have a problem with it anymore. Go back to those things and say, you know what? I don't struggle with that anymore, and I praise God for that. Then look at what's in your life right now and what's staring you in the face. And you can say, I can have victory just like I had victory back then. I had to replace what's staring me in the face. I had to get whatever's in front of me and be able to confess it to God continually, but confess it to God and get it right with God. But the problem is when we continually feed our minds with the wrong data day after day, is it any wonder why we struggle with the same sinful thought patterns? When we make no change, no repentance, no renewing of the mind, it leads us right back into our sinful actions. It's because of the fact that we must take off. And I think we all don't have a problem with that. We all know that there are certain things that we want to get rid of, but it's the renewing in our mind. It's when we take the time to understand and memorize and think of Scripture and consider what Christ has done for us. That's when we begin to put on new things. Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But don't stop there. Don't just repent of it. Remember, we need to repent of our thoughts. Replace those thoughts with something that's right. After confessing your sins, think about it this morning. Think about it in the morning time when you get up. Usually I hope that morning time is a time where you spend a little bit of time with God. And you go to God and you pray. And I know that's a time where sometimes I'll consider the day before or even at the evening time when I'm going to bed. I'll lay in bed and I'll think about my day. And there are some times where I had to confess to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I didn't use my time as wisely as maybe I should. I shouldn't maybe got angry with so-and-so. I shouldn't have done this or that. But after confessing it, there are some things that we need to do, though. You can get things right. You can take things off, but you need to replace those things. You think about it. In the morning time, if you would read your Bible for a little while, maybe even try to memorize a scripture, maybe sing a hymn or read a hymn, maybe think about a quote from last week's sermon, maybe pray for five people that have some type of serious need, maybe take a missionary every day and pray for them, maybe to consider someone, a church in the area, or someone you know to pray for. You know, after you go through and you put those 10 different things in your mind, you read scripture, you try to memorize something, you sing a hymn to praise God, you pray for people that are in need, you pray for missionaries, you pray for churches. You know what's not going to be in your mind? Those things that are wrong. You're never even going to be considering the number 8 anymore. It's because of the fact that you have put so much else into your mind. But we wake up anxious and worried and frustrated, and we might say, Lord, I'm sorry, help me not to be that way today. And we might even, if we're good Christians, read a chapter in the Bible and say, hey, I've read my Bible today. And we might even pray about all those things we're anxious about. But we don't give enough time to renew our minds and replace it with spiritual precepts, taking the Word of God and feeding it into our minds and giving us something to consider through the day. I love when you find something in the Bible and you like it. And when I'm reading, there's different ways that I read through the Bible. But when I'm reading just to read, and there are times where I just read without, you know, stopping and considering all the things, I'm looking for one verse usually at that time that I'm reading. And when I'm doing what I want to do, I will write out that verse on a 3x5 card, and I'll take that with me, and I'll think about that day. I'll take it with me. It's something I want in my mind. Because if I'm thinking about that, guess what I'm not thinking about? Something I shouldn't be. Try it. Try giving something up for a week and replacing it with something else. And then when you give it up, go back at the end of the week and say, well, how much did I really miss it? Because I know that when I can replace something that is wrong with something that is good, I at the end of the week can look back and say, I can't believe that. I didn't think about that. That thing used to be so precious to me. That thing used to mean so much to me. I could never get rid of that thing on my own. But when I take and I put it off, I set it aside. I'm not going to go there for a week. I'm not going to look at that for a week. I'm not going to think about that for a week. Nothing's going to cause me to go and consider that. And then for that extra time that I would usually spend in reading or watching or listening, I fill that up with good things. At the end of the week, I think you'll be amazed to think, I didn't need that after all. Number 8 might be nice, but if it's going to cause us problems, we need to get it out of our thought lives. So it begins with repenting of sinful thought habits. Then it goes with renewing with our spirit-filled resistance. And then it's replacing it with spiritual precepts. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll close up for today. Lord, our thoughts and our mind is the greatest battlefield we have. Lord, I pray that these lessons, I know a lot of them seem like they say a lot of the same things over and over. But Lord, your word is clear. We need to repent of the wicked thoughts, Lord. We need to replace them, Lord. The only way we can do that is by renewing our mind. Lord, we need your help. Help us, God. Help us have victory here. And as we have victory in our thoughts and in our heart, God, then we will be able to have victory throughout the other strongholds in our life. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, you're dismissed.